Hi, it's good to have your company. My name is Simon Smart, and you're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. Well, today we're talking about judging others. It seems that these days being judgmental is the one thing people can't stand. And there's a very common feeling in our culture that you can be just about anything you want, but don't dare come across as self-righteous or judgmental. And that's understandable. Judgmentalism is a very unattractive trait in other people. And to talk about this, I'm with Justine Toe and also Stephen Liggins. Steve is a former lawyer, an Anglican minister, and I happen to know that he was a pretty scary fast bowler in his day. He's just submitted a PhD thesis at Sydney University in the Religious Studies Department, and he's done a bit of thinking about our topic today. So Justine and Steve, why is being judgmental such an unappealing quality?
Well, I reckon it's because there's this sense that when you're being judgmental, you're speaking from a position of authority and you're looking down on other people, and that is completely taboo today. And also because we have this attitude that no one should tell us how to live, and you know, why should you care so much about the choices that I make? And so it also kind of carries this assumption that, oh, if I'm being judgmental, then I'm better than you, basically, and I can tell you how to live. But I think the most toxic thing about it is the attitude. It's the way that it's a really kind of, I'm distancing myself from you. I'm not going to make those kinds of choices. It's a really unattractive attitude, basically.
Yeah, Steve, is it a sense that you're lumping the person in with their behaviour? So you're not making a distinction between them and their behaviour.
I think that's certainly the case. You're really writing someone off when you judge them. If judging another person means to make some sort of nasty, negative assessment of them, it's pretty hard to take. And I'd agree with Justine. I think the reason why people dislike judgmental attitudes is no one likes being on the receiving end of it.
There are some classic examples of obviously being judgmental, aren't there? What are some of those?
Well, actually, I came across this great story a couple of months ago where they did this study and they found that if you eat organic food, you're more likely to exhibit judgmental behaviours. So you have made certain food choices and you think that this is the way to eat, and so maybe if you see someone with a burger, you're like, yeah, I don't know. But I have to admit that the fact that I take even the slightest bit of delight in this sort of news shows that I perhaps have some judgmental attitudes when it comes to organic food, you know, that sort of thing. Not that I think it's not a good idea, but it, you know, people can sometimes feel a little bit self-righteous about their decisions.
Well, they've got a good reason to, because they pay three times the price for that food. I know this. Steve, other things?
If being judgmental means to make a nasty negative assessment, which is what I think people generally think, we're making nasty negative assessments of people all the time. There are so many generalisations prevalent in our culture. All rugby league players hate women. All Muslims are terrorists. Demonstrators should go out and get a real job. You know, that sort of thing. And even attitudes to specific people. People make nasty negative assessments of Tony Abbott, Julia Gillard, Shane Warne all the time.
So, Steve, tell me, why do you think it's so hard not to be judgmental?
I think there are two reasons. One of them is internal to us. One of them is external. Internally, if we can just sometimes want to just let off steam. Someone's done something to annoy us. You know, someone annoys us at work, they do the wrong thing. Maybe they do the wrong thing at work. But when we respond to it, we're just letting off steam, giving them a piece of our mind. But also, I think there's quite a lot of, surprisingly, social pressure to be judgmental, to take on the judgmental attitudes of our culture. You can sometimes see a bumper sticker on cars, you know, Australia, love it or leave it. There was a movie of the 1980s, which I was a great fan of, called Breakfast Club, where there's five different high school students are put on weekend detention in a library. One of them's sporty, one of them's a glamour, one of them's an outcast, one of them's a bully, one of them's a nerd, I guess you'd say. At the start, they have all these judgmental attitudes towards each other. By the end of the day, they've become firm friends. But the question is, when they return to school on Monday, will they still be friends, or will they return to those judgmental attitudes towards each other? And the implication is that, yes, they probably will.
And the idea is that they return to their social groups, which are very distinct, and adopt those sort of attitudes again. The relationship is the key, Justine, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that as well, we shouldn't leave social media out of this equation as well, because so often if it's just, you know, me on my phone or me on the computer, I can kind of forget that there's a living, breathing person on the other side of the computer, and if I might just want to drill them for something that they've posted online. So I think that perhaps this climate of new media is not necessarily conducive to helping us to be less judgmental. I think we're really good at having our opinions sail out, you know, and if they're negative and going to hurt someone, doesn't matter. I don't have to like look them in the eye and see how that affects them. So I think that we need to pay attention to as well.
And it's this idea that not only the direct, the other person you get annoyed with and you say it to them, but it's that gossip sort of talk as well, where people are, you're judgmental, maybe not to them, but with other people in talking about them. And you can be incredibly unloving in the way we do that.
We don't just express them to the person or to other unrelated people. We can just think them. No one may never know we've got judgmental attitudes, but in our own mind, we can be very judgmental.
Brings up this point, Steve, if it's possible to make a distinction between making a judgment and passing judgment. Is that a good distinction?
Yeah, I think the most helpful thing we can do is to figure out, well, what did Jesus mean by it?
He talked a bit about this, and lots of people like this stuff that Jesus talked about in saying to people, don't you be judgmental, because he seemed to be particularly harsh when it came to religious people who were judgmental.
The idea that we should not judge others is so big in our culture, I think it comes initially from Jesus' teaching. In fact, someone once said it's probably Jesus' most well-known piece of teaching today, don't judge others or you'll be judged. He said it. It was pretty much not unique, but he went further than anyone ever had gone before in saying that we shouldn't make unloving, negative assessments of other people. Now, what Jesus meant by judging was making an unloving, negative assessment of someone else.
He famously said, don't worry about the speck in someone else's eye when you've got a plank in your own eye, right? This is partly what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's right. When Jesus gives his teaching in the Bible about not judging others, it's associated with other stuff. And one of the parables is the parable of the speck and the plank. It's saying, don't take the speck out of your brother's eye and ignore the plank in your own, which is basically saying, look, don't worry about the minor failings someone else has when you ignore the major failing in your own life. You know, deal with that first before you start worrying about the other person. Jesus does say, though, that it's appropriate to make assessments of people. In the same section of the Bible, he teaches that we can judge a tree by its fruit. It's an orange tree because it gives oranges. In the same way, you can assess what a person's like from their words and actions. But the key thing for Jesus is all our assessments must be loving towards the other person, and also we need to have an awareness of our own failings. We've got stuff in our own eyes if we're trying to point out the same problem in others, so we need to be humble about it.
You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity.
Why was Jesus so harsh on religious people that he felt were being judgmental?
Yeah, Jesus forms an interesting contrast to a lot of the religious leaders of his day. Jesus felt that the way certain people lived were not the right way, but he still embraced them. He still loved them. He still accepted them. He still related to them. He counted them as their friends. There were some other religious leaders around at the time known as Pharisees who felt the people weren't living the right way, but they would distance themselves from these people. Jesus may disagree with people, but he still loves them and relates to them. And that's the key difference between Jesus' attitude and the attitude of some religious people of his time.
Yeah, Justine, Jesus seemed to have been the genius at this, didn't he? Being able to really mix it with and eat meals with and hang out with people who the society would have seen as outsiders or sort of the low life of society. And somehow he's able to get the balance right. He's making judgments but loving them.
Yeah, that's right. And what I think is particularly incredible as well is that in that parable where the woman is caught in adultery and she gets dragged before Jesus and all the religious leaders are trying to entrap Jesus. So they're like, oh, come on, Jesus, let's, you know, here's a stone, let's all have a throw. And then he says, well, you know, anyone without the first sin can basically go first. And so he shows in that moment this ability to pause, to kind of reflect. And while he himself doesn't have a problem, he knows that everyone there has some failings in their own life and that they are therefore in no position to do that. So his ability to pause, consider, kind of look at the situation in its entirety, I think we sometimes skip over that in the rush to judgment, but it's a crucial step into the process.
Now, Steve, Jesus did do that, those things. He's very incredibly loving, but he also called people to a different way of living, didn't he?
Yes, Jesus called people to follow him, to align themselves with him, to live his way. He offers them forgiveness. He offers them strength to do it, particularly when someone follows him. But yeah, it is a different way. But his way is also a way which is marked by love. One of the particularly radical pieces of teaching Jesus gave was that we should actually love others. Not just the people we like, but also people we might otherwise have considered enemies. You might think we don't have enemies today, we've just got people who annoy us a bit, but he calls us to love everyone. So whereas, I guess, followers of Jesus should be marked by living the way Jesus taught, the strongest thing almost is that we should be seen as people who love each other and others.
Is it fair to say, too, that there are certain situations which call for judgment and that the judgment would necessarily and rightly be more harsh than, say, another situation?
I think I'd probably use the word assessment. I take the word judgment in this context to be a negative judgment, but there are plenty of times when it's good for us to try and wisely and lovingly make assessments of others. Someone might ask you to marry them. You want to make an assessment. Is this the sort of person I want to marry? You may be going for a job. You're thinking, are these the sorts of people I should be working with? You might be trying to find a babysitter for your kids one night. Are these the sorts of people I would feel would be responsible in looking after my children? It's appropriate to make assessments, but in all our assessments, we should be concerned about the good of the other person, showing love towards them, etc.
Can I just pop in there and just say that I really agree with you that in some ways it's impossible to avoid making assessments. And even if you have, though, the intention to do it lovingly and for the other person's welfare, I mean, we can deceive ourselves at the same time, right? And we might be blinded by, I don't know, sexism, racism, etc., and yet also be still in some way guided by the love of the other person. So how should we always be second-guessing ourselves at the same time?
I think that it's easy to work out what being judgmental is, and we should be loving in our assessments, right? It's hard to do. I can say it, but I don't do it all the time. I drive down the M4 a lot, one of the motorways here in Sydney. Often people speed past me driving in a very foolish manner. I can accurately assess that as being unsafe driving and that perhaps it would be good if they were caught so they could amend the error of their ways. But often I just get angry at the person and think, you know, unloving thoughts. I've gone there from making an accurate assessment to being judgmental of that other person.
Yeah, so, okay, so Steve, this is the key, according to you, that the loving attitude to the other person is the vital thing. What are some examples of how that might work out practically? You gave one there. When you mentioned children, I think one of the ways that people are very judgmental, I'm sure we all are, is when it comes to raising, styles of parenting, raising children, and it's the thing you cannot talk about, right?
I'm a father of two young children, and parenting practice, people have different opinions on, they're strongly held, and people can be very often judgmental. You may see a young mother bottle feeding the baby. People can be very judgmental. Oh, she should be breastfeeding, right? But it seems to be women in this area. You might have a woman with a young child at work. Oh, you know, people can be judgmental. She should be at home looking after the child. Or maybe if she is, other people might think, oh, she should be earning a salary.
And people in those situations almost never know the full story. And you can imagine you fill in a whole lot of other details to those situations. You might think, oh, okay, yeah, no, I know what's going on. And Justine, are there other examples where you think, yeah, we can make assessments but be really loving about it?
I mean, if being judgmental is about standing on high, then it's about getting on the same level as the person and showing a real concern for their welfare. And also, as what Steve was saying before, you know, being really clear on your own failings as well. And that's much less likely to make you attack someone else on the basis of theirs.
Well, it's a great discussion. It's good to have it with both of you. It's a challenge. But thanks so much for Steve coming in and talking through that. That was great.
For more Christian perspective on contemporary life, publicchristianity.org.
Well, coming up next time on Life and Faith, we'll be talking about the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. It's the UN Day that falls on November 25 each year. And we'll be talking about the ways that women suffer violence in the world, what efforts aid organisations are making to combat it, and how you possibly can be part of the solution.